At least I'm not sleeping with a hospice music therapist. Cedar, he's 20 years old, 25 tops, and he has a voice like an angel who maybe swallowed a bag of gravel. His guitar case is covered in stickers, a smiley face, a skull, Drake, Joni Mitchell. "When you're famous, I'm going to say, 'I knew you when,'" I said once. And it was a mistake. He shook his head, his baby forehead suddenly cross-hatched with distress. I'd gotten him so wrong. "No, no," he said. "This is it. I'm already doing the thing I want to do." "Of course," I said quickly. "It's such a perfect job for you." And he said,
"Yeah, though sometimes I dream that somebody requests something, and I'm like, 'Hang on a sec, I don't know that one. Let me just look it up on my phone.' But while I'm Googling 'Luck Be a Lady' or whatever, they die. And that's the last thing anyone ever said to them. 'Hang on a sec.'" "Shit, Cedar," I said. And he said, "Right?"
Now he's sitting on the end of the bed, strumming the beginning of something. The Beatles, Across the Universe. Edie's eyes are closed, but she smiles. She's awake in there somewhere. "Cedar," she says. And he says,
"Hey, Edie."
Lays a palm on her shin, then returns to his song, strumming some and singing, humming the parts he can't remember. My heart fills with and releases grief in time to my breathing. We've been, Edie's been, at the Graceful Shepherd Hospice for 3 weeks now. 3 weeks is a long time at hospice, but also because of what hospice means, it kind of flies by. But it flies by crawlingly, like a funhouse time warp, like life with a newborn. It's breakfast, all milk and sunshine, and then it's feeding and changing that recur forever on a loop, like some weird, soiled 90s circle of hell. And then somehow it's the next day again, and you're like, "Who's hungry for their breakfast?" Only nobody is hungry for their breakfast. Except Edie. "Ooh, make me French toast," she said this morning to Olga, the Ukrainian nurse we love, who responded, "Of course." The hospice had estimated, when we checked her in, that Edie would be their guest for just a week or two.
"We don't think of this as a place where people come to die," the gravelly, cheerful intake counselor had said to us. "We think of it as a place where people come to live."
"To live dyingly," Edie had whispered to me, and I'd laughed. We all refer to the hospice as Shapely, as in, "I'll meet you over at Shapely," because Edie, only half awake when we were first talking about it, thought it was called the Shapely Shepherd. "Like a milkmaid in one of those lace-up outfits," she'd said, and I'd said, "Wait, what?" And then, when I pictured what she was picturing, "Yes, exactly like that." Hospice is a complicated place to pass the time because you are kind of officially dying. "Am I, though?" Edie says sometimes when dying comes up, as it is wont to come up in hospice. And I pull my eyebrows up and shrug, like, "Who knows? If anything happens to me," she likes to start some sentences, about Dash or Jude or her journals or her jewelry. And I say, "What on earth would happen to you?" And she laughs and says, "I know, right? But just on the off chance." Sometimes the hospice physician comes through. The enormous, handsome man we call Dr. Soprano because he looks like James Gandolfini. And she says, "When do you think I can get out of here?" You can tell that he can't tell if she's kidding or not.
probably because she's not really kidding.